Father, we just thank you and we just give you praise for each and every day that we enter into your presence as we awaken each day. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, Father. And we ask, Lord, that as this word comes forth and we share in this service and the next, Lord, that you be glorified, O God, and that you speak to our hearts that which is upon your heart, O God. May we receive, may we obey, and may we truly rise and soar. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 What are you reading?
I am.
Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, I want us to start like at 10.
On what?
On chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10.
All right.
Come now the Amplified, too. That's what you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Am I reading to the end? Or?
Yeah, you're going to, but I might stop you before
all right,
you get
that's
there.
That's fine. All right.
I thought I read to the end.
Oh, you did.
Last week I read from 10 up to 23.
He just wants to go back to
10. Going back over.
Yeah, I was just going to, there's a lot of things I want to emphasize, wordings and stuff like that.
Right, that's fine. Mm-hmm. According to the grace, the special endowment for my task of God bestowed on me, like a skilled architect and a master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each one will become plainly, openly known, shown for what it is. For the day of Christ will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and worth of the work each person has done.
Stop right there. I was looking in this last night and again this morning. This is a student study Bible. It's a King James student study Bible. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it has a lot of notes down here when it talks about, like, the first one. On 10, on verse 10, according to the grace God has given us, he's talking about and laid the foundation. And this note here says, I have laid the foundation. Now, this is Paul saying that.
Mm-hmm.
By preaching Christ and him crucified. And then it says that basically is the just of the foundation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we know it gets more detail.
Yeah.
But then in 12 it said, if any man build upon the foundation, then of course it talks about the values of gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. It says gold, silver, precious stones, precious, durable work that stand the test of divine judgment, symbolic of pure Christian doctrine and living. Then it separates your wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, worthless work that will not stand and the test, symbolically of weak in inscriptive teaching and life. So, I mean, you know, it's telling you what, mm-hmm. I mean, it talks, we a lot of times talk about wood, hay, and stubble, all the temporary things. And in this class, we realize the temporary things is this life, too.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if I still believe we're going to be at 100, 100 and a quarter. Because, I mean, in eternity, as God sees things, that's just a moment. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what's a scripture you quoted every once in a while? I guess it's the high priestly thing of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
One that's not any beginning of days or ending of days.
Without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without ending of days.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is what eternity's about. I mean, that's the eternal right there. And that was a priesthood that we come in contact, I mean, we come into, that we find out everything else. You were on 12, right? Or had finished 12?
Oh, let me see. 13, the workers and all declare. 13 is what I ended on.
13 you ended, okay. And it says, the day. It said, the day, and it's talking about fire. God's judgment, the work of some believers, will stand the test, while that of others will disappear. Emphasizing the importance of teaching the pure word of God. I mean, you know, my brother and me talk a lot about how people like to do stuff, but they're more aggressive at doing stuff when they get credit for it. And we've discussed this openly.
It works. It's works, but I believe it's not. I believe out of our love for God and what He's doing in us will cause us to do.
Right. But it will also cause us to give Him the credit why we're doing it.
Yeah. But some do and work thinking this is making them greater in God, closer to Him, and then wanting credit for all that.
Well, and you know, I might be wrong. I'm here to be corrected too. I told my brother, I said, well, according to the scripture, they already have their reward. Because if you really want the reward, you do it in secret, right? I mean, where nobody else can see you do it. And God will reward you. He'll build up treasures, what it says, in heaven for you.
But also, I said, if you do it and it's of Him, you're not looking for a reward or for... be recognized
in
what you're doing.
Well, he like it says in the Old Testament, he told Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. He is the reward.
Yes. Right.
It's not you know, getting acclamation from somebody
That's
else.
Right.
He is, his presence in your life is the exceeding great reward. One thing I'd like to say too, when you're talking about the corruptible part, the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You know, one time years ago, the Lord was dealing with me about the Old Testament. He was dealing with me about the, when they made all of the things that went into the tabernacle. You know, they made the table of showbread, and they made the Ark of the Covenant, and they made the candlestick. Now, the candlestick was pure gold.
Yeah.
And gold talks about the divine nature of God, but the Ark of the Covenant was made out of shittim wood or acacia wood, and it was overlaid with gold. And what I felt like that the Lord was showing me there when He was dealing with me about that, I felt like He was showing me that wood is corruptible, you know, wood is corruptible. You know, that nice thing over there, if we didn't have a real good polyurethane finish on that thing,
right,
and stuff, that, you know, eventually that would begin to start rotting away and everything like that. And, you know, and what I felt like God was really trying to show, what was trying to show in that, is that we have a corruptible nature, you know. Our natural man has a corruptible nature. And, you know, He didn't change it into gold. He overlaid it with gold. And I got into a conversation with Audrey on this one time. She says, well, you know, it was made gold. I said, no. I said, the wood was still underneath the gold. And I said, I felt like what the Lord showed me was, you're always going to be aware of the old nature.
Right.
Because being aware of the old nature keeps you acknowledging the gold, you know.
Right, the emphasis
on the gold.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gold, not necessarily being you in that sense, but being Him in you, or Him on you, so to speak. And I said, I felt like that's what the Lord was showing me, because, you know, at that time, I won't say it a little while because I don't want to talk too much, but. At that time, I was, and then I've done this over the years too. I've had times when I've said, Lord, aren't you ever going to take this particular thing out of my life or that particular? And it'll crop up, you know, and you think, oh, man. And it really bothers you because it's something where you fall so short or something. And yeah. you think, man, Lord, aren't you ever going to take this out of my life? And you have to realize that even what he told Paul, where Paul, he gave Paul a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what that was. We have no idea. But Paul kept beseeching the Lord, and he besought him three times. And finally, the Lord told him, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect, what?
In weakness.
In your weakness.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
And why did he emphasize in your weakness? Because he wants you to realize
right.
without him,
right.
without that presence in your life,
how weak we are.
You are nothing. Yeah, you're weak, right. you're corruptible, and you and that's what I like. I like that the wood, hay, and the stubble. Well, the wood's going to be consumed, but by the fire of God as he burns it up eventually in our lives, you know. And there's going to come a time when only the precious will remain. And what we have to do until we come to that day is keep acknowledging the precious, you know, acknowledging it, but also realizing who and what we are without that preciousness, you know, of the gold, the divine nature of God, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's in Job chapter 23, mm-hmm. verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. He has concern for it, appreciates and pays attention to it. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as refined gold, uh-huh. pure and luminous. I thought that was somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Well,
chapter 13.
And when you read in Malachi,
yeah,
where he says that he's going to set, I don't know if you were going to share that or not, but if you were, I'll let you do it. But anyway, where he said in Malachi, suddenly the Lord whom you seek shall come to his temple, and he shall set as a refiner's fire, yeah. and as fuller soap. Well. You know, a refiner's fire, what does a refiner's fire do? A refiner's fire takes the precious and anything that's in that's not precious,
separates it.
It brings it to the top.
Right.
And sometimes when we're in a situation where something crops up and we say, oh no, that's still in me. And the Lord's just, you know, he's just bringing it up to the top, you know. And usually it's adverse situations or weakness situations or whatever you happen to go through, but he brings it up to the top, and he lets you acknowledge that it's there, but also he has to be the one to skim it off the top.
Right, right.
You know, you can't skim it off the top yourself. You wish you could, but you can't.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought, because Kevin's. That was the one I get to reflect everything off of. Mm-hmm. She said to me, she said, what? Because I mean, it hit me like it was a brick upside the head. I go, oh, no. Mm-hmm. She said, what is it? And I can't even imagine what it was, but I'm going to tell you, I looked at her and said, I thought that was dead and gone 5 years ago. And she looked at me and smiled, no, it's very much alive. I mean, that to me makes it acceptable, because I know she's accepted me for how I am.
Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean,
love covers.
I mean, you know, love covers a multitude of sins. And we think that goes with parents on their kids, but to be honest with you, it goes for one another.
Yes.
Well, see, a lot of times, if we think everything's gone, then we get puffed up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he allows that stuff to come back up in us so that we can't get puffed up. We have to say, oh, Lord, without you, I can't do this thing. I've got to have you. And I was going to say one other thing about the refiner's fire. Now, I used to have this track thing, and they said when they refined silver, they were talking about how they do silver. And they said that silver, it has to be taken to a certain temperature, and then the silver will melt and all that stuff. But they say that the way that the refiner really knows that the silver is right at the right temperature, is when he can see himself in the silver.
Reflection of himself.
Yeah. But if the heat was to go above that certain temperature,
right,
it's totally destroyed.
It's distorted, right?
Yeah, well, no, it actually destroys it. It actually will destroy the silver from what this thing said. So even God, he's the one. So when we find ourselves in the midst of the fire, so to speak, you know, the problems or whatever you want to call it, that is the fire, he's in control of the fire.
He's bringing us.
He's in control of the fire. He's got it right to the right temperature. He knows exactly. And until he gets it to the place where he can see we and he can see himself in us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it's the right temperature. Then it's been purified, you know. Mm-hmm. But I love that. I mean, I can witness to that a million times in my own life because there's things that I've said to the Lord, Lord, please take this out of my life, you know. And then he doesn't take it out of there. And you think it's gone, and it's right back there. And you think, oh, my God, you know, not that thing again or whatever it is, you know. And, you know. But anyway, I think that's really something when we come to realize that we are perfect, but it's only in him, you know, in him. And we have to keep that knowledge it's in him and that he's the gold covering us, so to speak. And eventually, I believe eventually that corruptible nature will go away, but it's going to go only when you're totally perfected, you know.
You know, in him we move, we breathe, we have our being. And people say, well, that sounds good. I go, no, we've got to get past sound. I said, that's how it's got to be. And they go, well, how do you do that? I said, well, you get to clear, you do a lot of waiting on God.
Yeah.
I said, you're not just waiting, sitting still, or standing still, or laying still. But I said, you're so focused that the small, still voice that lives within you is going to get louder because you're fine-tuning it to, you know, it's like a radio station. You got to tune it in. You're tuning in because you're actually wanting to partake of that voice, of him who gives you breath and your being.
I mean, you got to be on the same frequency.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, that's no lie. I mean, I was thinking one year we went down, I don't know if you were going then or not, one year we went down to City Gospel Mission, and I was speaking, and Audrey was there. There's a bunch of people there. Audrey was there, and I spoke, and I wasn't even paying attention where I was walking, and I walked right off the platform. And the platform was about at least that high.
It was high.
At least that high. And so I fell and I rolled, walked back up to the steps, come up and kept on going. After the thing was over, Audrey said, I couldn't believe it. I said, what's that? She said, well, you didn't miss a beat. I said, well, Audrey, I said, I'm not kidding you. I believe God's in sole control. He knew I was going to fall down. Mm-hmm. And I said, so Lord, if I fall down, I'm going to fall on you. And when I get up, I'm getting up in you. I mean, you know, you can keep your place, I believe. I think that's what he wants us to believe. I think that, you know, it's just like you've been in places where the walking was hard. It was difficult. Well, tell me you didn't make an adjustment. It might have been with another different pair of shoes. I mean, this is not life. Life's full of adjustments. Those that make them walk pretty good. Those that don't, got to learn to do something else.
And sometimes in these places, like you're talking about, where you can't walk or stuff, you need support. That would be with someone else or with another, you know. And I believe in some of these hard, you know, these places where God is going, that we support one another. We're praying for the other. God's, we're not trying to pray them out of anything, but we're being a support.
Right. You're reading an encouragement to him.
In the midst of what God is doing.
I remember Betty saying, God makes everything neat.
Who said that?
Betty.
Betty Dunn?
My sister.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing she kept saying before her mind got more confused, she kept saying complete. I remember her sitting right here. And in the car we come, and she kept seeing, and I know God was showing her something that she couldn't verbally, but But she just kept talking about complete, and we know we're complete in Him.
In Him,
but she kept saying complete, just, and like she wanted to explain it to, she was seeing something. I know she was.
You know, I believe when that complete comes upon us and it takes a hold of our minds, it possesses our body, all of a sudden we got a different look at life. We look like no longer have to change. He's changed you. You know, it can't be us changing anyway. It took God to change me. Still love Him. I mean, you know, you got to give in to the Spirit.
We're in process.
Yes. Well, I don't know the word. I might be mispronouncing this, but you were in an industry, machine factory, where you had to, I want to say the word, burnish or blend.
Well, yeah. We used to burnish holes sometimes. And what you do with a burnishing tool. Well, we had these things were plastic. Sometimes we'd make these big things that went on injection molds, you know, and plastic had to flow through that stuff, and there couldn't be any irregularities in there of any kind. Everything had to be super smooth, because if it wasn't, that plastic would hang up, you know. And we used a burnishing tool, and what burnishing tool, what it literally was, is it was a tool that was like, it was sort of like a reamer, you know what a reamer looks like, but it wasn't a reamer. It had rollers on it, yeah. You know, and what you did was you put it in the hole and you drove it in and out, in and out, in and out, and you adjusted the rollers to where it kept friction on that metal, and you just kept jacking it up a little bit at a time. It didn't take that much out, but what it did was it was almost like it was polishing, but it was doing it through abrasion, through rubbing, you know.
Through friction.
And it wasn't like that stuff had any, it didn't have any kind of abrasive on it or not. It actually was smooth.
Right.
Because it was almost like a needle bearing, you know, but a bigger needle. And they had a few of them around there. And when you adjusted it, it would just keep coming out a little bit, and in and out, and out. It took a while to burnish something. But when you got done, it was smooth as could be. I mean, it was just super smooth.
I think that tool has taught me, and him talking about it, yeah, has taught me, there's areas in our lives, I'm saying ours, I shouldn't say ours, I said my life, that needs smoothing out to a point to where if somebody touches it, they can't feel anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's not going to be any, to me, I take that as an overall picture, there's not going to be any static between God's people. He's already done a job to restore us all. I mean, well, we'll get a little bit farther, because I'm going to use that word farm.
Let me just comment one more time on that burnishing. I believe in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was at the river Chebar, and he had looking glass visions. That's what, if you break down his words, that's what he had. He had looking glass visions of God. Okay. Well, looking glass, and part of that definition of that word, visions of God, there it says looking glass, but it says mirror visions.
Right.
Well, what is a mirror vision? Who do you see when you look in a mirror?
You
see yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And as it described what he saw there, you know, the thing that had the four faces and all that stuff.
What chapter is that in?
I think it's chapter 1 of Ezekiel, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And anyway, and as it described it, it says, and his feet were like burnished brass. You know, so the walk, burnished brass, if you burnish brass, in other words, what you end up doing is you make it like a mirror. And also, if you burnish brass and you get it really polished to a high polish and light hits it, it becomes a prism. You know what a prism does, don't you? Breaks light down.
Yeah, cuts it down.
It breaks it down and shows you all the colors that are in light.
Right.
Well, what, and in other words, so this thing that he saw back there, oh, it was a tremendous, there's some tremendous truths in that. Sometime I'll have to go back and teach on that again from the pulpit. But literally what it meant is that when you saw the walk of God in there, in you, because it was in of looking glass visions, you know, mirror visions, and you saw the walk of God, you know, it would break down the light to where you could understand, you could see the beauty of it, you could see the color of it and everything, you know. I mean, it's pretty neat when you think about that. And then up in Revelations, when John had the revelation of Jesus Christ, it describes him, and his feet were like burnished brass, you know, basically. So there you go again. So the walk began to reflect the light of God and to break it down, you know.
When you have a mirror, is that silver that's polished?
It's actually silver underneath the glass, yeah. Is what it is. It's actually silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, a mirror is actually a thin layer of silver. Yeah. But it's silver that's been really refined, you know. Yeah. But let's see if if you want to look at that, I'll look. Here he says, now in the first chapter, it says, now when it came to pass in the 13th year, the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, and the Lord dealt with me about all the numbers at one time, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, and the heavens were open to me, and I saw visions of God, you know. Mm-hmm. And it says, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King of Jehoiachin's captivity, and the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest of the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, you know. Mm-hmm. But that first chapter, there's all kind of things. And when he begins to describe the living creatures back there, oh, there's a tremendous truth in that too, you know. But you know, I can look it up in here and tell you where those words actually are back there if you want me to. But I don't want to get away from whatever you're doing there, Clyde. Yeah. If you want me to look it up, I will. If you don't, then that's okay too.
We better go on. You stopped in. Was it
13?
13. Go ahead and 14.
If the work which any person has built on this foundation, any product of his efforts, whatever, survives this test, then he will get his reward. But if any person's work is burned up under the test, he will suffer the loss of it all, losing his reward. Though he himself will be saved, but only as one who has passed through the fire. And then that's where he read, what, 23:10. You want me to go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you, collectively as a church, but also individually?
Where it talks about the temple of God, here's the reference. It says God's church. Paul does not mean, and this got me. I read this, I don't know how many times, last week. It says God does not mean here that each of his readers is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is it, that we got to realize. We've read a lot of the Bible, but this is saying this is what this means. It says, he says, ye plural are God's temple, singular. And then it gives you a reference, and he speaks of each Christian as a temple of the Holy Spirit. What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to clarify at this time when he's bringing this word, it's the individuals that make up the temple. But he said, when you are the temple of the Lord, it said you're individually a temple. Okay? But then later on, he said, you are singular, the temple. And I kept on looking at that, and I said, well, how come, why would we even point that out? And they got to point it out because you're on the, you do the 17th.
Go on and read.
Yeah.
If anyone does hurt to God's temple, or corrupts it with false doctrines, or destroys it, God will do hurt to him and bring him to the corruption of death and destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, sacred to him. And that temple, which is you, the believing church and its individual believers are.
Go ahead.
Let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, but let him become a fool, and let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as dull, stupid, and foolish, without true learning and scholarship, that he may become really wise.
Let's stop right there just for a second. Now, Oscar, I'm going to quote you, and if I'm out of line, you tell me, because I might quote you wrong. You, I think, have been heard to say, I would gladly trade everything I know for that which I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me is wise. Mm-hmm. Because, see, as we know something, the day of knowing that hasn't gone away, but it's, I hate to use that word. Brother Eddie used to say, put it on a shelf or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that shelf probably get dusty a little bit because we said, well, I just went through that, or I just experienced that, or I've seen somebody experiencing that. Like you were talking about even the walker and adjusting people and how to encourage them and being a blessing to them, how we could turn around and actually be the support system for them. Not the support, but you know, support them to the Lord. And then when we see that smile on their face and that light kick on their eyes, and they go, oh, that's it. Then we know that God has taken them and they have taken God. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll say, we're in Christ, but you know, Christ is in you. I don't even think we can be in Christ unless he's in us. It's the fulfilling of him coming into us and then our desire to walk with him. You know, I was studying, preaching, that you can't preach to the people without setting your time in the presence of God. Isn't that how you get it? Isn't that how it's supposed to be? You're supposed to get the word comes to you to go to them. But you know what it does when it comes to you before it goes to them?
No, it does.
Goes to, I could eat this. This is a steak, man. I like steak. Yeah, well, this is a rough, hard steak. You know, really, because if you don't do that, you might give them the same way you got it, and you didn't let it do anything for you. You remember the brother, I can forget his name. He came here and said, he preached on breaking bread with the brother. Mm-hmm. I might have said this is like last week. And when he came, that was the week we were eating here. Mm-hmm. And he was leaving to go eat somewhere else. And I said, hey, man, aren't you going to practice what you preach? He said, well, you got people in here. Well, there might have been 30 or whatever here. But I got, but you got people here. You could actually live in front of them what you just talked about. Mm-hmm. And I think in God's eyes, that's more important, you know, whether you're in the church or somewhere else at work or wherever, you get to practice a lot. And how do you practice? Because, you know, the old saying is, you got to practice what you preach. And I like what Oscar says a lot because I remember about the foot to the pedal, to the metal, you got to have some feet. You got to walk it out. You got to have something behind what you say. You can't say something and then not walk it out.
You got to walk the walk.
Yeah, and he gives you opportunity. I see when you say that and him thing. Not only are they looking and seeing where he's breaking bread with us, he's not up here preaching, he's down among us and he's with us. And look at the divine opportunity that God would give as he's sitting and mingling and talking,
right,
that he will minister when he's right there, you know, with them, down with us, you know, mingle with us. And opportunity and privilege, just such a privilege.
Well, see, I think that's all based of the foundation that Oscar's concerned about. I said, I think that we are supposed to be the walkers of the word that walks it out. And where we put our foot, they go, okay, I see. They would walk here, but they wouldn't walk here. They would do this because they're depending on God's word and Holy Spirit to lead them. I go like this. I said, my mom used to have, and it was only three rules. We can't find it. I don't know what happened to it, but my brother knows it. He quotes it to me. That where will you be? Because God is going to return. You know, I said, where will you be when God returns? What will you be talking about when he returns? You know, it's all about staying focused. Everything's focused. God is. He is. He's already been here in the flesh. You know, he walked this earth. Now he's walking this earth. He's dwelling among us, you know. And I think as we walk it, there's a scripture and I can't find it because I know the word was farm. That's why I put it on the board this morning. It says that the body of Christ is not only his body, but it's his implantation of, I was telling Margaret, when you go to a farm, what's your expectation when you go to a farm? You know you're going to a farm, what's your expectation? Fresh food, fresh vegetables, probably a picnic. There's probably a lake around, maybe fishing. I mean, there's so many things that, so what do you expect when you go to church?
Food.
Well, not only that, but you don't expect just to go.
No.
I know you don't. But you expect to enter in and become part of. And you know what you're the part of? You're the part of the body that supplies the part that needs to be supplied.
Yes, true.
And I think the same thing has happened out beyond these walls. When you see a man in need, isn't that, when you see a man in need, when it's within your ability, or that's the wrong word, but you're able to help supply that need. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think people. Somebody will, Brother Eddie talked, somebody will come to you and learn of Christ and actually eat what you're feeding when you're a broken vessel and you're willing to share it, and they see that broken vessel that they know, that they go, this is all right. This is okay to be like this. Not act like we got to plaster them with everything. I don't know why I was reading it, but I was reading this morning early. Romans 8:1. For now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many people have you ever heard, if you've heard that word right there, have said, for now there is no condemnation, and stop? I mean, they stopped, and I go, hey, okay, that's true. But that's not the complete truth. Because there's a part there we get to fulfill. For now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk no longer after what? The flesh, but the Spirit. And I think that's what it's actually talking about in Corinthians here, about the church, when he says, you are, you know, you're my body, you're the temple of God. He said, I dwell in you. I don't dwell in houses made by man. He said, you know, you're my vessel. Man, I tell you what. I know he don't want us to puff up, but I believe he does want us to take a deep breath. Yeah, that's what he's made us. Oh, not that we could get there ever on our own. What was he, 18? I think it was 18.
For me to read there?
Yeah.
All right. Let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, and let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as, this is what I did.
Yeah, I like this.
As dull, stupid, foolish, without true learning and scholarship, that he may become really wise.
Go ahead.
For this world's wisdom is foolishness, absurdity and stupidity with God, for it is written, he lays hold of the wise in their own craftiness.
Is that where you got Job, the fifth chapter?
13, yeah. Job 5, 13.
You want to read that? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll try.
I can pull it up. If
can you pull it up?
To. If you can't read it, I can pull it up. Job 5:13.
Yeah.
Just a second. I think it's back opened up.
Ooh. Ooh, that's good. What's that? That's
okay, let's see here.
He catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemer is brought to a quick end. That's Job 5:13. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the daytime they meet in darkness, and at noon they grope as in the dark. But God saves the fatherless from the sword of their mouth, and the needy from the hand of the mighty. So the poor had hope, and iniquity shuts their mouth. So you want me to go any further?
No, I think that's dealing with the craftiness of man, right?
Yeah, because in the next verse it says, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts and reasonings of humanly wise, and recognizes how futile they are.
I can ask you a question. What's futile mean there?
Well, it's
meaningless.
Yeah, pretty much.
Needless?
Well,
yeah, don't need it.
Futile would mean that something can't be changed. You know, it's useless. Basically.
So let no one exalt proudly concerning men boasting of having this or that man as a leader, for all things are yours.
I love that. All things are yours.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the universe, or life or death, or the immediate and threatening present, or the subsequent and uncertain future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God.
Listen what it says here. Ye are Christ. You are united with and belong to Christ. Christ is God's. Christ is in union with God the Father. And it tells that in John 10:30. Mm-hmm. And it said, and with God the Holy Spirit. And it tells that in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Similarity, Christians are in union with the church true leaders. I read that and I go like, yes. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be in union with the church leaders. See, I think everyone that comes here is a church leader. I mean, take a spot out there, you don't sit in that spot, and that's, you know. I mean, I've been saying to somebody for a while, I said, hey man, you're sitting in my seat. It's been a long time since we had to tell somebody you're sitting in my seat, especially in the church, you know. I'm talking about in the building, of course. And it says, true leaders, it said, and with Christ, who in turn is in union with the other members of the Trinity. I believe that when it comes down to it, it said, you are Christ and Christ is God's. Because he's quoted it, and it said, where it says, haven't I said you are God's?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I don't want to say, meant to offend people. It was meant to encourage them and put them together in a stronger way. With by his stripes we are healed, you know. What's a brother Eddie used to teach that about one string, you put it together, you know, you can pull it apart. Two string, put it together, you can pull it apart. But when you get three in a cord and stuff like that, and you put them all together, where's the strength? The strength isn't in the individual. There's so much together, the strength in the body, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you know, I think with this here, I think, you know, what I did with a highlighter, I went and says, no other foundation, the work. I mean, if the work which, if any person, and just, you know, just at the beginning of everyone, I go like, this is what this is about. He said, you know, if anyone else or if anyone does hurt you, you know, I think he wants us to realize.
That scripture about the threefold coat is Ecclesiastes 4:12.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So basically, he's wanting us to realize that our strength is in togetherness. I'm talking about the church, his body, is in togetherness and not letting people or not being the person of that would divide and take sides. You know, the word, years ago, the word came to us that said that, you know, if you were going to prophesy to somebody, the word says that you're supposed to take another brother or sister or whoever you need to take with you. So they would set in judgment of that word. Is that about right? Close to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have seen over the years people separating themselves from the body. When you do that, and then you want to separate some of the body to themselves, and you want to give them a word without the recognition of authority and judgment. So basically what they wanted to do, they want to conquer and divide and set in a place to where they weren't being judged by what they said, so they didn't have to answer to nobody. Any of that right, or is that about right?
Well, it tells you, basically tells you that you know, that you should, when you prophesy to somebody, there should be witnesses standing around.
Right.
And they should judge what's said, you know. If they feel like it's not of the Lord, they should say, it's not of the Lord, you know.
We were at camp one year. And we had a lot of people there. But one of the speakers was Jerry Ross. Well, he started playing a guitar. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you go tell him. Well, I'm looking for somebody to take. And Jay Davison sat next to me. I said, go up with me. I said, the Lord give me a word for Jerry. And I think I'm about 25 years old. So I was a young man. I felt like he took me. Here's how I accepted what the Lord gave me to tell him. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Like he was patting me for being a good boy. That's the way it felt. Jay said, what do you think? I said, time to wait. So we waited. He got up and started playing guitar, and three of his strings broke. He put them up and said, looked over at me. Jay said, you see the look he gave you? Do, 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 do. And I go, yeah. Well, anyway, so he got in the Word. Next morning, he got up and out of his, because we had two services, out of his lips, he says, hey, that won't happen what happened yesterday, because I changed all five strings or whatever it was. I said, oh, okay. He got up, tried to tune it, and all five of them. Oh. I told Jay, I go like, I'm not even looking at him. He goes like this. He's looking at you like you done cut those strings. I said, I know nothing about that. But I do know that I felt like the Lord was allowing me to know he's not accepting what I told you to say, which is okay. But he will see. That's why I told Jay, I said, we'll just wait. We're going to see something here.
Yeah, because, you know, if God gave you the word of the Lord,
it's one of the clearest words I've ever heard, and I go like this. I said,
so it's not for you.
And it wasn't for me. It was like what Oscar said. It's the word, when you prophesy to somebody, the word is subject for you, but it's given to them, and it's not for you to get up and make that word come to pass.
Right.
Or make them believe it.
You know how, you're right. You know how that word's going to come to pass? Is that they believe it and act upon it. That's how it's going
to
come to pass.
And to be honest with you, it's not for you to interpret
right.
either. Unless God gives you the interpretation.
All you to do is to give it.
Give it.
And then, like you said, the interpreting, the real speaking to the heart, that which has been given to them,
right. That's
in God's hands.
Right.
Did you ever, did he ever acknowledge or you ever know? Yeah.
He never did.
That was between him and God.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean.
Because he wasn't rejecting you and patting you on that. When we do that, we're rejecting God.
Well, I see where it's a good thing, because we've learned here, it's a good thing that we record stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we can go back and think, because I don't remember everything. I mean, you kind of do remember the stuff when people, good job, kid, good job. I mean, I'm thinking, it's not about me.
It's you were about, obedient,
right.
And the rest is up to God.
And, you know, just leave it in his hands. He'll do with what he's going to do. But
and how he wants to do.
Well, the thing about it is when you come to realize that, there's not many wise, there's not many really educated that God really uses, you know. And a lot of times, people who are in the ministry for a long time, I hate to say it, but they have a lot of pride, false pride, really, at times, because they think they're so farther advanced above everybody else. And really, we're not. I mean, he sent a little child to you to prophesy to.
Oh,
he
yeah.
prophesied
oh,
to you through a donkey.
Yeah.
He sent a donkey to prophesy
yes.
to you. You know? I love that story of Balaam where the donkey runs him into the wall, and then the donkey talks to him and says,
"Why
haven't I been your donkey?" You know, he was beating him, and he said, "Well, haven't I been your donkey all these years and served you?" You know, he said, "You know," and then God let him see the angel of the Lord was up there with a sword and was going to kill him.
Oh, wow.
The donkey said, "I'm going up there."
Yeah. If he can talk to you through a donkey, you don't need to get exalted, feeling, because God uses you to talk to somebody.
Raise up rocks or stones.
If anything, it should humble you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
You know, not exalt you.
You want to close in prayer?
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you for this gathering. Thank you for letting us understand your word more, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for enlightening our mind, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you that next service will glorify your holy name, and whoever brings forth the word, let it be pure and gold, Father.
Yes.
We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah.